This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Wong Xiaoning and Julian Ng. Now, it's 7:37 in the morning, Tuesday the 10th of March, which means that in half an hour, we're having the breakfast grill, where I'll be speaking with His Excellency Charles Hay, British High Commissioner to Malaysia. Because the UK officially exited the European Union on the 31st of January this year. However, trade negotiations are far from over, as the two sides look to hammer out a deal before the end of the year. How is Boris Johnson's administration going to navigate these discussions, and can the UK survive these schisms that have arisen from the Brexit process? We discuss these issues and the state of Malaysia-UK bilateral relations with the British High Commissioner to Malaysia, Charles Hay, later on after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. So be sure to stay tuned. Now, over this weekend, all producers, though, in the OPEC Plus alliance have failed to strike a deal, which led to Saudi Arabia launching an aggressive oil price war. Now, the Kingdom's reported preparing to increase production above the 10 million barrel per day mark.
It is also offering unprecedented discounts of almost 20% in key markets, and oil prices suffered their biggest fall since 1991 when American forces launched airstrikes on Iraqi troops following their invasion of Kuwait that year.
Now, for some context, talks were held in Vienna last week, and here's what happened. So OPEC recommended production cuts of 1.5 million barrels per day starting in April until the end of the year. Now, Saudi Arabia was seeking support of OPEC and its allies for production cuts to stabilize prices, which of course have been hit by the coronavirus outbreak. But Russia rejected the deal and rejected the cuts. This represented an opportunity for them to, in their minds, to hit back at US shale producers.
So the meeting also ended without a resolution over what to do when current production level agreements expire at the end of the month. So for more insight into this, joining us on the line this morning is Howie Lee, economist at OCBC Bank. Good morning, Howie. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, morning.
So oil prices have dropped more than 30% year to date. How long might this price war last, and how low do you expect prices to go?
Well, really, at this point of time, I think your guess is as good as mine. But having said that, there is really no incentive for either Russia or Saudi Arabia to back down by now. As you have previously noted, the intention of Russia really is to partially hit back at US shale producers due to the economic pain that was inflicted upon them 5 years ago during the shale boom. As for Saudi Arabia, they have one of the lowest costs of producing oil in the world at around $10 a barrel. They do have the ability to keep prices low for longer, and given both sets of idiosyncratic factors, I don't see these suppressed prices ending anytime soon.
So is this going to be a free-for-all right now between OPEC, Russia and the United States, which is one of the biggest oil producers in the world, the third largest, I think. Is this going to hurt them where it hurts? Hit them where it hurts?
Yes, definitely, because while Saudi Arabia can take lower prices because of their lower cost of production, but the same can be said for the other states. So the average cost of oil production in OPEC Middle East is roughly about $30 a barrel. So if prices go close to that level, some of these producers are really going to feel the pain. They won't be able to cover their short-term run costs, average costs. And that's going to force some of these players out. And of course, a lot of these players depend on oil for sustainability, for their fiscal revenue. So when you strip that away, they're going to have a whole lot of pain back in their backyard.
But what could potentially bring the different parties back to the negotiation table? Because, there, like you say, there is a fiscal break-even price for each of these players, right?
Well, at this point of time, I'm going to say a miracle, but no, I think it takes a miracle to bring them back. I think it's understanding that this is a lose-lose situation. No one's going to gain from having low oil prices. I think the idea is everybody should come back, understand that there's a need to cooperate to bring oil prices back to a sustainable level, and make sure that no one's fiscal revenues are being hit. But that said, I think given the way prices are unfolding right now, as well as the COVID-19 situation, everybody is, I think, adopting a bit of a protectionist mode. No one really seems to be talking about cooperation. And I think it may take some time for them to come back to the drawing table.
So since cooperation doesn't appear to be the name of the game right now, what's your view on the future of the OPEC Plus alliance? Is there still hope yet?
Well, it does look a bit shaky, but to be fair, it has always looked shaky from the start. Well, you know, as we all say, there can only be a tiger in a cave, and in the OPEC Plus alliance, there were two, Russia and Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia, as you know, has been used to getting its way around the OPEC suppliers. Right now, it has to share the table with Russia, and there seems to be very tense moments in the last 4 to 5 years since they were together. I think there must be some kind of implicit understanding on who covers what kind of responsibilities in OPEC Plus. And I think until they come to the understanding and who really is in charge of proceedings, I think this episode could repeat again, even if they come back and temporarily conduct a marriage of convenience.
Howie, what will happen to some of the more minor oil-producing nations across the region, like Malaysia, perhaps Indonesia and Vietnam? Will their economic situation or their budgets change as a result of this sharp fall in oil prices?
Well, yes, definitely. Those who are dependent on oil, I think they will have some problems trying to meet their fiscal break-evens, the likes of the smaller players, not even just Malaysia, but say even Ecuador or Brazil, who is up and coming. I think they depended a lot on these high oil prices to keep some of their funding well supplied with oil money. But having said that, I think the larger problem is what happens to everybody, not just the oil-dependent economies, if prices continue to be so depressed. And I think a bulk of global deflation that could sweep across the globe is detrimental to everyone, whether you are oil importing and oil exporting. And I think at this point of time, I think we look beyond who is going to benefit from low oil prices or who's going to get hurt from it, and understand that low oil prices resulting in a downward spiral deflationary cycle, I think that's the most detrimental right now.
And Howie, what would the implications be for the oil and gas sector if prices remain around $30 per barrel for an extended period of time?
Well, the good news is that I think a lot of these unsustainable errant oil producers have been wiped off the market in the last shale boom in 2014, 2015. So I think whoever is remaining right now, 5 years later, should have a stronger balance sheet than most compared to 5 years ago. But having said that, $30 oil is always going to be very painful for most producers. I would imagine that oil exploration would virtually come to a halt in a couple of months because it's absolutely not sustainable to conduct any kind of offshore activity at this kind of prices. You see, I think, a lot more oil companies going to bankruptcy, a lot more defaulting on loans. I think we've already seen that actually, especially from the Chinese companies in light of the COVID-19. And I think even beyond the oil and gas sector, I think there are questions being raised about climate change and sustainability, because when oil is $30, who's going to go for more expensive alternative fuels, alternative sources of fuel? I think those are the big mayhem that's being thrown into right now.
Thank you very much, Howie, for speaking with us this morning. And that was Howie Lee of OCBC Bank with his thoughts on oil prices after their current sharp fall that we're seeing over these past few days. Right now, we are heading into some messages. And then up next, we're speaking with Lim Wei Jet, constitutional lawyer, on the role of a deputy prime minister. So be sure to stay tuned for that after these few messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.